Open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. We'll really pick up our Bible survey tonight in chapter 39. We'll look at a little bit, a few chapters before that, just remind you where we've been. And, of course, we've been dealing with, ever since Genesis chapter 12, Hebrew history. The history of the Hebrew people, as the Lord began to call and work and called Abraham. And he said, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And it was near 50 years later, Abraham finally had Isaac. But that reminds me that God's in no hurry. He's working his plan exactly as it has pleased him. And I brought that out on Sunday mornings, that God the Son, while on this earth in his personal ministry, was never in a hurry. We get quite anxious. We're in a hurry a lot. We feel like, you know, we get into traffic and I'm bad for this. Somebody's in front of me going 5 miles an hour slower than what I want to go, and can't they get around? Can't they get out of my way? The Lord's never in a hurry. The Lord's never late. He's never ahead of schedule because it's his schedule. And so, right at the appropriate time, Isaac was born. And then Isaac had Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We looked recently at Jacob and the life of Jacob and the struggles of Jacob in some ways, and how that then, in the process of time, Jacob had Joseph. We were introduced to Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, and Joseph was 17 years old. So just a young teenager. Joseph, in chapter 37, revealed to his brothers a dream that he had, that they would bow to him. Tonight we'll look at the fulfillment of that dream, and if my math is correct, it's going to be 20 years later. We're going to have, 22 years later, we'll have the scene. In the course of that time, remember last week we looked at the fact that Joseph at 17, as he revealed this dream to his brothers, they hated him. They couldn't stand even, the Bible says they couldn't even talk to him peaceably. One day, his father sends him out to check on the other brothers, the work that they're doing, tending the flocks, and they get the idea to, first of all, put him in the pit, and then they got the idea to sell him, make a little money off of him. We saw last week how that he then was sold into slavery, how that he ended up in Egypt, working for Potiphar. We looked last week at how that he was serving Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife set her eyes on him and sought to have him sexually, and he said, no, I'm not going to do this. This would be a sin against your husband, my master, and the Lord. I'm not going to do this. And you remember the story how that at that time when he walked into the house to do his business, that she approached him again. This time he left the house and even left his coat. And she took that and said, look, he is here. You brought him here and now he's mocking us. And she lied and said that he was doing things or seeking to do things with her that he never wanted to do with her. And the master, Potiphar, had him thrown into jail. So we know that at the age of 17, he was introduced to us and the dream was revealed to his brothers. We know that, and we'll get to this in a little bit, Genesis 41, verse 46, that he stood in front of Pharaoh at the age of 30. And tonight we'll get to the place where he's standing in front of Pharaoh. We know that that's 13 years, from 17 to 30, 13 years. After he stands in front of Pharaoh, there is 7 years of plenty. 13 and 7 is 20. And then the brothers show up after 2 years of famine. We'll put these dates together through the scriptures tonight. And so it'll be 22 years from the time that Joseph told his brothers, "I had this dream," to the time when they unwittingly bowed before Joseph, fulfilling that dream. And as we go through this tonight, think of that 22 years. I don't like to wait 22 minutes for most things, okay? Think of that 22 years that Joseph has lived his life since revealing the dream in chapter 37. Think of that 22 years that Joseph was part of that time, a mere servant to Potiphar. He obviously wasn't raised to that level of second in command of Potiphar's house instantaneously. But he's a servant of Potiphar for some period of time. And things had to look pretty gloomy. And then things brighten up and he's second in charge, only under Potiphar himself. Only Potiphar was greater than he in Potiphar's house. And then he's in jail. He's in jail for a good piece of time. The butler, who we'll meet tonight, forgot about him for at least 2 years in jail. And then there had been time for Joseph to be in jail and to be elevated to be captain of the guard. So there's a good amount of time that Joseph is in jail. You think, yeah, this is working out just like I figured. This is working out exactly like my dream. I doubt that's coming to Joseph's mind. I doubt that Joseph is sitting in the jail thinking, yeah, this is going great. And then after the butler forgets him for 2 more years, and he's there in jail, you suppose Joseph kind of thinks, I got it wrong. I thought I was sure. 22 years has gone by. 22 years now has gone by. No sign of my brothers anywhere around this jail. You imagine Joseph had some doubts? Did he wonder? He's human. He would have had to think about these things. So we saw Joseph in chapter 37. They called him the dreamer. They hated him. We saw him in chapter 39, being sold into slavery, taken down to Egypt. We look at chapter 40. A lot of this reads so plain and clear that it's really hard to take just portions of this, because it's such a dramatic story, and you hate to miss any of it. I've tried to take excerpts of a few chapters here to get the gist of it in a timely fashion. In chapter 40, now he's in jail. Okay? And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief butler and against the chief bakers. And he put them in the ward, in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the war. Now, we were introduced to a couple of new players in this drama, the butler and the baker. Now, it's not revealed to us what they did to offend Pharaoh, but what is important here is to try to grasp all of the different dynamics that are going into Joseph being at exactly the right place at exactly the right time. Exactly as God had planned it. None of this is by accident. None of this is, Deacon in Fairborn always said, a quinky dink. A coincidence. None of this is a coincidence. None of this is random fate. This is the hand of a sovereign God saying, right here, you, over there. And the butler and the baker do something to get under Pharaoh's skin. And Pharaoh cast them in prison and said, stay there. And they just happen to meet Joseph. Now, in 40 and verse 5, they dreamed a dream, both of them. Each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker and the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and he said, behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Now, think about that. They're in jail. Okay? And he's asking, what do you guys look so sad about? You were elevated men in Pharaoh's realm, and now you're in jail. What do you have to be sad about? I find that ironic. Anyway. They go on, and verse 8, he said unto them, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. So Joseph said, look, you guys might not know about how to interpret these. You might not know anybody that interprets them, but I know who has all the answers, and that's God. And since I know God, tell me the dreams. Let's see what we can work out. Let's see what we can figure out. Of course, they tell him the dreams. He gives them the interpretation. Now, the baker doesn't like the interpretation much, or at least if I was the baker, I wouldn't like it, because the baker finds out that he's going to lose his head. That he's going to be brought back in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is going to say, gone. So the baker probably is not hoping that Joseph is right. Now the butler, on the other hand, you're going to be elevated back to this place of authority and stature where you once were. And look what he says in verses 12 through 15. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me. When you get out of here, remember me. Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that I should be put into the dungeon. And so he gives the good news to the butler and says, remember me. Now he doesn't tell the baker to remember him. He's not going to have that ability. But he tells the baker then the bad news, and let's see, I want to go down to verse 20. And it came to pass that It came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among the servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Something just slipped his mind, and the butler didn't do it. We're always saying that, you know, the whodunits, the butler did it. Well, he didn't do it. He didn't tell Pharaoh anything about the dreams. So, chapter 41 enters, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. So 2 years have gone by. The butler has had amnesia to this whole thing. And Pharaoh dreams a dream, and there's two different dreams that both mean the same thing. You probably remember them, that there's going to be 7 good years, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine that follow those good years. The first dream talks about the cattle and the 7 fat cows that are really plump and healthy. And then the 7 that are skin and bones, and they eat up the fat ones. And the dream is that the 7 years of plenty is going to be consumed by the 7 years of famine. Now, Pharaoh has dreamed a dream, and Pharaoh's scratching his head. What do I do? What does this mean? The butler gets a eureka. The butler says, hey, a dream. Can't figure out what it means. I know this guy. He's in prison, but he's a good guy. And he remembers. So Joseph then, let's see, look at verse 9. Chapter 41, verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with me, with his servants, and put me in the ward of the captain's guard, and of the captain's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us. So it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Well, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved him, and changed his raiment. He came in unto Pharaoh. Jump up just for a second to verse 46. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So we have now proof positive he's been 13 years from the time that he had that first dream. So he interprets the dream for Pharaoh here in chapter 41. And Pharaoh asks him, What do you think we ought to do? And Joseph, in about the early 30 verses, right in there, in the early 30s, he says, look out over the people, over the men, and appoint an honest man to gather up. And he even gives how that, verse 34, a fifth part of the land, and gather it up and store it, and put somebody in charge of it and make sure they're doing it, and then ration it out properly as it's needed. And Pharaoh says, you know, that's a good idea, and you're the one going to do it. You're the one going to be in charge. Verse 37, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants, And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. You're in charge. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. I'm the only one that can overrule you. You are in charge. And so the butler, remembering Joseph, finally after a couple of years, introduces him to Pharaoh. Joseph interprets the dream. Pharaoh says, hey, this is pretty cool. He's got this thing figured out, and I think since that he's the one that's figured out, we're going to put him in charge of it. And so Joseph is elevated in Egypt. Now, chapter 42 comes along, and we've been through the 7 years of plenty. And we're now 2 years into the famine. And chapter 42 comes along, and Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And so we understand that now we're looking at 22 years of time has passed. That Joseph has now been in charge of Egypt 9 years. And the famine is 2 years into it. And we will see, we saw here where Jacob sends his sons down to get some food. Of course, Benjamin's going to stay back. Jacob said, keep Benjamin back here. I don't want to lose him too. And so 10 brothers go down to Egypt and present themselves to the one in charge of the storehouse. And we know who that is, Joseph. Now it's interesting because we'll see, let's read on in chapter 42 here a little bit. Verse 3, And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn. Remember the dream. All 11 were going to bow down. Remember that. And so, when the 10 bowed, wasn't the fulfillment of the dream. They had to go back and get Benjamin. And he had to come back and all 11 of them would have to bow. They don't know who he is, but Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was he that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with with their faces to the earth. Verse 7, Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them. He spoke roughly unto them, and he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And so they bow him before him. And then chapter 42 goes along, and it's the back and forth between Joseph and his brethren, and then Joseph sending them back to get Benjamin. And it's not until you get all the way up to chapter 45, in the earlier portions of chapter 45, that Joseph reveals himself to them. 45 verse 1, Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me, and he stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. 22 years have gone by. They thought he was dead. They thought he was long gone. They didn't know he was dead. They thought he was long gone. They'd long since been out of their lives. They had no idea where he was. But you know what? I don't think he ever got out of their consciousness. I think their consciences tore them up for that 22 years, which is evidenced by some things they'll say later on in the book. And Joseph said, verse 4 there, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me thither, or hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at the maturity of Joseph. Look at how that he could see through what they did and see God working. Let us take a lesson here, a huge lesson here. Joseph is obviously not only a man of faith, but a man of deep, deep intimacy with the Lord. He sees God at a place where most people would just see anger and retaliation, where most people would just see 10 brothers standing before him that he'd like to have their heads. But Joseph said, look, no. God sent me here. And as of yet, they don't know what's gone on for the last 22 years to get him where he is. He's had some down times, some hard times. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5. So there's where I got the 2 and know that this thing's been going on for 22 years now. And there's 5 years more of famine. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What depth of character. What an amazing insight to the sovereign providence of God. What an amazing testimony. Look, guys. God's working out his plan. He had to save a posterity. Verse 7. Why? Why is that so important? He promised Abraham, when you can read between the lines and fill in the pieces, he had promised Abraham that through Abraham's family would come Christ. So Abraham's family couldn't be wiped out by the famine. And so Joseph said, look, God was fulfilling his promise, and you were instruments. And in chapter 50, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. That's amazing. I want to take you to 2 verses. One in Psalm 76, and then we'll close after one in Hebrews. Psalm 76 and verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Even in the wrath of man, i.e., Joseph's brethren, even in what they did, the outcome was to the glory of God. Not what they did, but the outcome of how that God worked all those things out to praise Him for His sovereign providence, for His amazing ability to bring all the pieces together at exactly the right time. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Even those things, like what those 11 brothers did, will end up praising God. And whatever doesn't, verse 10 here, the remainder of wrath shalt thou remain. If there will be no praise in it, if it will not have an outcome that is to the glory of God, God stops it. God says, no, won't happen. Everything else is to the praise and the glory and honor of God. Joseph saw that many years before David had the privilege of writing it. Joseph saw it. He knew it. Look at Hebrews 13 and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Joseph knew this also many, many years before the apostle had the opportunity to write this. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, that is God, he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. David was there. Joseph was there. His brothers sold him. Potiphar's wife lied about him. He's in prison. The butler forgot about him. Every piece of the puzzle. God was with him. I brought that out last week. Three times in, I forget what chapter it was. Chapter 39. God was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. And so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Whatever the wrath of man can come up with, it will either ultimately work out to the praise of God and the glory of God, or God will stop it. May that get hold of us and remind us of the awesome God that we serve. May that get hold of us and comfort us like nothing else can comfort. And may we work ever more diligently, individually. May each one of us work ever more diligently to know Him, this God, that does all things perfectly and in perfect time, bringing about the exact outcome that He wants to the praise and honor and glory of His holy self. We being mere instruments used, hopefully yielded and obedient instruments, used to His honor and glory. I'd hate to be used like Joseph's brothers were used. used in their rebellion, used in their anger, used in their disobedience, but nonetheless, all used to bring about God's plan. This should excite you to see God working in this way, and He's the same God today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You.